Do I need this mic?
No.
Good. I don't like it. It might like me, but I don't like it.
I'd rather walk around without a wire. We're in Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. Familiar story of Jesus walking on the water. Did you know this was encapsulated in three Gospels, and each time it's told a little different? And I think this is the best one. Here's where Matthew begins in verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit!" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on that water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand, caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is life to us, even as You are. Holy Spirit, breathe on us now Your message. Lord Jesus, even as You walked on the water so many times and so many years ago, so now, approach us, whether we be afraid or not, and bid us come to You. Heavenly Father, draw us with Your Word now, woo us with Your Spirit, and help us find peace in this moment. For it is to Your name and to Your glory and to Your honor that all things come and to You they return. May we now find in this place Your blessing. And into that end, Heavenly Father, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. It is a great story, isn't it? A lot of people talk about this being the miracle of Jesus walking on the water, but a lot of people don't realize two miracles happened here, because Peter walked on the water too. How did he do that? I haven't figured that out yet. But he did. He got out of the boat and started walking on that water. I don't know about you, but if it was me, I'd be going, "Don't do that, Peter, you're going to drown. We can't walk on water." But what happens in this story should happen to us in our lives somewhere, some point. And I want to share with you how this works. What happened, first of all, is Jesus has been preaching, teaching multitudes. And He tells the disciples, "Get on a boat, go to the other side, I'll join you." What He does is He then goes up in the mountain to pray and to be alone with His Father. And we need those times, don't we? Little quiet times in the day or in time to time throughout, just to recoup ourselves and get back to who we are. I don't know about you, but I prefer a specific time, usually in the morning, to start my day off right. Thinking about what God wants me to do, looking at our prayer list, and bringing myself into His presence. Without that, my day just doesn't seem to go right. Well, Jesus does that. And he's there. He sends the multitude away before dark so they can get to their homes. And the disciples leave before dark, but when he's done praying, it is dark. So he prayed a long time. Not just 5 minutes, but several hours. And then he begins to go on the sea to join the disciples. He's walking, and it's a storm. And the boat, in one of the stories, it talks about how it's kind of rough. But in this one, it's the wind and the waves are starting to pick up, and he's walking along, and the disciples are rowing. Like this. Trying to make headway to get to the other side, being obedient to what Jesus told them to do. And they're rowing. And all of a sudden, one of them looks up and sees something walking across the water. I don't know about you, but I'd be kind of like they are. What's that? And another one said, well, that's a ghost. People don't walk on water. And Jesus hears their conversation and says, it's me. Be happy. Don't be so afraid. It's Jesus. And Peter goes, if that's you, and I don't think it is, you tell me, come out there and be with you. Oh boy. That's the climax of the story, in my opinion. If it's really you, Lord, you tell me to come, and I'll come. And what does Jesus say? It's me. You can trust me. Come on. And that's the question where we stand and where Peter stands is when Jesus bids us come, what do we do? Do we stand there and say, wait a minute, that's awful messy out there. I'd rather stay here in the boat. Or do we just do what Peter says and get out there and start walking on the water? Wait a minute. If you think for a while on this, you're not going to get out there and start walking on the water. You're going to go, I can't walk on water. He can't either, but he's doing it. I don't know how he's doing it. But I can't, so no, I can't do that. But he told me to come. He told me to come, so I should go. But it doesn't make sense for me to follow Jesus on waves and walk out on water to him. Maybe I'll just try to swim a while. Some of us can't swim. Some of us can't swim in high waves. Most of us can't survive a long time in high waves. Even if we could not walk, we'd have to swim to it. Would we feel safe? And now you start thinking about it, guess what? Jesus is going to still be out there alone, isn't he? Sure he is. There's an old saying, I guess you would say, a motto, that's called trust the process. You ever heard that? Sometimes it's called TTP. Trust the process means you do the next right thing and you leave the outcome to God. If you do what He tells you, He'll take care of the outcome and you don't invest in it. In other words, you don't go, well, if I do this, this will happen. What you do is you say, I'll be obedient and no matter what happens, that's God's business. He works on the results. I work on obedience. And that's called trusting the process, leaving it to God. Another way we say that is let go and let God. Do what He says and let Him have your life and results. And it's simple enough to trust the process, but the question is, do we understand what the process is? A lot of folks say that our relationship with God is based on grace, and it is. And I've heard people define grace as unmerited favor. However, that's not the correct definition of grace. The correct definition of grace is the actions of God upon a human heart. Whatever God does towards your heart is grace. And so when God calls us in grace, He's acting on your heart. He's trying to get your heart to respond to Him. And it's His actions which come to you always lovingly. Sometimes a little more challenging, but always loving. And He's trying to get us to respond to His call, His direction on our life, faithfully. And that's a call of grace. I promise you, God will never ask you to do something that will embarrass you. He will never ask you to do something that you cannot do. And he will never ask you to do something that he won't help you do. And not only that, he's going to ask you to do something you've never done before most of the time. That's fun, isn't it? God, I can't do that. He says, you're right, but I'm going to help you if you'll be obedient. Look at Peter. He jumps out of the boat. Says he climbs down the boat, starts walking. Look, I'm walking on the water. Oh, no, I can't do this. That's what we do. We start thinking, I can't. And that's like Peter. I can't do this. And he starts to sink. And he's going, help me. I can't do this. And God says the same thing he said to Paul a few years later. Good. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is enough for you. He reaches out and lifts him up. Now, that is another climax in the story when he picks Peter up and he's standing there with Jesus there on the water. Now, in my mind, when I used to hear this story, at that point, it looks like the sea is calm and Peter's happy and everything's safe. It's not true. If you read just the next verse, it says that the waves are still boisterous. Now, my question to you is, would you rather be 25 feet or so away from the boat, on wind and waves, with Jesus holding your hand, or in the boat, safe? Which one do you want? Would you rather stand on that water with Jesus and see great things happen and miraculous things happen in your life? Or would you rather play it safe and stay in the boat? I don't know about you, but it scares me to think about water because I'm afraid of deep water. I really am. I don't like to go in head first to deep water. I don't know what's going to happen. A lot of folks get hurt in that. Didn't we have one girl or one fella on our prayer list who hurt their neck going into deep water? Messed up their neck. I don't, you know, that's enough for me to be scared, but I just, for some reason, don't like it. So, if you're going to ask me, do I want to be in the deep water with Jesus or in the boat, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to be scared to death out there with Jesus. You ever heard this phrase? I would rather live not regretting the chances I didn't take for God. I don't want to regret those opportunities that He called me to because He has a blessing there. He has something that's going to raise me up. We say, I can't do that simply because we've never done it. I can't walk on water. How do you know? Because I've tried. But I have. I've done it lots of times. It's called ice skating. I've walked on frozen water a lot. So why can't I walk on regular water? If God says, come, I'll go. If God says, come, will you go even though it might be scary? That's the question. Do you trust yourself more than the risk involved? Do you trust God in spite of your fears? I get a daily devotion from Hazelden, and one of them one time said that once you begin to trust God, be ready for resistance. Get ready because you're going to take some risks, and everything in you says, this isn't going to work. Messages from the past, old feelings, I'm going to fail, old beliefs, all that are going to say, this can't be done. But will you allow yourself permission to not let your fears immobilize you anymore? Will you take that step of faith and move forward and say to those fears, I hear you, but I was called. God asked me to go forward with this. I promise you, if God asks you to go forward, He will support you in it. If He didn't call you to go forward, most likely, it's not a good idea to go forward. That's another reason it's very important to have that time of prayer to get your heart right with what God wants for you. And then you can go forward with that risk that God might be asking you to take. We talk a little bit about comfort zones from time to time, but I want to share with you that Peter was still in the wind and the waves with Jesus. If you were one of the other disciples still in the boat, what would you do? Would you be going, look at Peter, he's an idiot out there standing on that water like that? Or would you say, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could play the guitar like John Hainsworth. I wish I could sing like the wind, or the bird, I mean. I wish I could thunder my praises like the heavens do when they thunder. Or do you say, I'm not Peter. I am who I am, and God's called me to a specific thing that fits my purpose, the destiny He's created me for, and I'm willing to find out what that is. Let me tell you, when that happens, your life changes. I'll tell you why I know. On a day in December, this last year, on December 13th, I was sitting with a small group Bible study. I'd been in that Bible study about 4.5 years. We were working through the book of John. And we came across this passage in John 14, and I got excited. I'd read John 14 lots of times. We use it at funerals. But something in me clicked, and I saw it in a way I'd never seen it before, and I just sat there dumbfounded. I was so blown out of the water. I said, this can't be possible. And I said, I'm the only one experiencing this. And when I got done, all I could say was, did this make sense to anybody else? And one lady muttered. She goes, this is deep. Quit. We can't take anymore. And I said, cool. Two of us got it anyway. And I thought I was supercharged, right? So I went to work the next day where I was counseling inpatient addicts, you know, trying to recover. And I presented the same idea to them. And I thought, well, you know, one-time thing, hit and miss, right? And I was going through it, and they shut up. They don't shut up. They're always looking for something to do, something to excite them, make them the next high. And I was about done with the class, and I said, what do y'all think? And you know what one of them said? They said, this is too deep. This is too much. We can't handle this. This is more than we can have. We're not allowed to have this good. And you know what I said? I said, it's possible and it's real. And I thought, well, you know, two times, not so bad, but that's just in controlled environment. So the next Sunday on the 18th of December, I went to the church I was pastoring, and I preached it again. And people walking out the door, guy usually says, good sermon, preacher, nice to have you. You know what he said? He said, we need to hear more of this. I've never heard this. I need this. And I walked out of church that day and I said, God, you've given me a gift. And at that moment, he said, this is what I've created you for. And I walked out of there and I was on fire. Every time I talk about this, this is the only thing in my life I can think of is this stuff in John 14 where I can say, stop me from talking. I usually can shut up pretty quick. But you get me on this and time will pass by, I won't even know it. It's funny like that. But when God calls you to a place, all of a sudden you're excited. And you say, this is me. This feels good. This matches everything I've ever done. This is my purpose. And when that happens, you don't want to think about anything else. And for the next 2 weeks, people would talk to me and say, guess what? They'd say, what? I'd say, John 14. They'd say, what do you mean? And I'd talk. They'd say, that's incredible. You ought to write a book. I said, I'm gonna. I don't think a book would cover it all. But I'm serious. I'd walk and someone would say, hey, how you doing? I'd say, I'm thinking about my book. No matter what I was doing, day and night I'd wake up with just that one thing on my mind. But I could sit in the boat and say, there it is out there. I'm not like Rick Warren. I can't write a book, you know. I can't do that. I'm not like those famous people like Max Lucado. I can't do that. Of course I can't. Of course I can't. But God who enables us can cause anything to happen. Amen. Including a man like Peter, who is dumb as a brick, to walk on water. He was so stupid he thought he could do it. All he wants is us to be dumb enough to try. So we need to dumb down sometimes when it comes to God and let Him have His way and trust the outcome to Him. I'm dumb enough to try to write that book. I've been working on it. It's not done. Every time he gives me a little another piece, I get in there and get all excited, start typing like I'm on fire. But I'm telling you, when God moves in your life like that, you see changes. I cannot tell you how God has brought people into my life and situations to make this happen. I'll start saying, Lord, I can't write. And he says, you're right. Don't write right now because you're trying to write. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you think you can do it, you can't do it anymore. God wants the glory. And Peter's sitting there scared, going, help me, help me. I was doing it, but now I can't for some reason. These wind and these waves, I'm distracted. I want to tell you, when you begin to do God's work, you're going to find some setbacks. You're going to find some disappointments. But if you know it's what you're supposed to do, you'll forge on. And you won't say, stop me and put me back in the boat. What you'll say is, save me so I can stand out here with you where you called me to go. I don't know about you, but when that happens, things change. You know what the folks at my church told me? Where I was, at Wesley Chapel, this is what they told me. They said, preacher, ever since you started on that John stuff, you're a different preacher. You're excited. You're passionate. I said, I can't stop talking about it. Every time I preach, I go and write about it. Not today, but what I'm trying to say is that when God gets a hold of you, people want to know. What do you got? What do you have? He can turn a Peter, an idiot, into the foundation of the church. And I promise you, Peter was an idiot, but he wasn't afraid to risk. And he was one of those guys that always put his foot in his mouth. But you know what? I'd rather risk embarrassment following Jesus than to risk losing everything staying in a boat. Peter has this story. Can you imagine this? I love this. Imagine this. A week later, he's talking about it. He's going, I got out of that boat. I was walking on the water and I started to sink. I was going down. I'm so desperate, you know, the wind and the waves, you know, and I'm sinking, and all those guys are laughing at me, and they're getting up, and then I say, help me, Jesus, and he helped me up. And there I am. I'm on the water with Jesus. And you know what the other guys in the boat are saying? I wish I'd have got out too. I got nothing to say. I don't know what it's like to feel safe in a storm because I stayed in a boat. They got nothing. And Peter has this passion about that story. And the others have regret. Are we boat people? Are we willing to say, let's try something? God put this on my heart. Sounds kind of crazy. Sounds kind of dumb. But let's try it. And if God blesses it, it's His blessing we'll get. If it doesn't work, it's because we have to refine it to see where God has it. Or we can do the same thing, sit in the boat. I'm willing to go where you'll go. I can't take you there unless God leads you there. The world is a storm right now. We got to get out there and see what God wants us to do there. I'm willing. So I invite you to pray and ask God, God, what do you need from me to get your world a safer place for your people? How can I get your people involved? It starts with us. It starts with me. And then it starts with you. And if you're willing to find out that you'll be supported, no matter how insane your idea may sound to others, bring it up. I want to hear about it. I want to trust that God can use you to create the next blessing and revival in our church, in our community. I don't think we're so small as we can't do that. I don't think we're small at all. I think our reach is much farther than we think. And I invite you, with me, to look beyond our boat into the storm, because that is where Jesus is found. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us enough to not leave us the way You found us, but to increase us. Heavenly Father, Your Word even tells us that You give us the increase. Thank You. And now increase us as we seek Your will and Your way. Amen.